Good morning, congregation. It's on Easter morning also that the church used to greet each other with, "The Lord is risen indeed." That's very scriptural. The end of Psalm 22, or in the middle of Psalm 22, after the sufferings described, the poet says, "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." And we have plenty of reasons to do so today as we ponder about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. May God indeed be in our midst. And to that end, let us humble ourselves before God in prayer first and receive His blessing. Our help, Lord God, is in Thy name. It is in Thee who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking any of the works of Thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our opening psalter is 427 this morning, 6 through 8. This is the day of full salvation that God has made and sanctified. Come, let us voice our jubilation and triumph in the grace supplied. So 427, verses 1, 6, 7, and 8. Let's now gather our thoughts together under the reading of God's holy law to us, as God on Mount Sinai declared to us His eternal and unchangeable will, prefacing it with the preamble that where He relates Himself as the God of salvation. And if there is any day that brings that out, it's the day of the resurrection. So let us follow up this reading with the singing of Psalter 342, verse 3 and 4. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. obey. Let us now turn in the scriptures to Matthew 28, the gospel of the resurrection as recorded by Matthew. And now verses 1 through 15 this morning. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ear, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money, and they did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. So far, the scripture reading in this morning hour. Now we have a day of joy, obviously, Easter Day, but it's also in the midst of all kinds of sadness. And the several things that are on the bulletin already this morning, the list is certainly much longer than that, and we think about the needs of others. Just yesterday I was informed that a young mother of 30 years old died in one of our congregations, mother of 5 children. And that in that same congregation this week, a 6-month-old baby died also. So those are needs, aren't they? The procedure that was done on Isaac yesterday, it wasn't necessarily working the way they were hoping it was, so there was a complications with it, and little Isaac had to struggle through some other procedures with his lungs, so you can imagine the needs for Ben and Elaine this morning, and Joyce in our midst, and the other grandparents is just so massive. So let us not forget in the midst of our commemoration today, the needs of so many others. Let's together then humble ourselves before God and seek His presence in prayer. Lord, it is good to draw near to Thee. Those were the words of a man who was also troubled, but found his refuge and strength in Thee and in drawing near to Thee. That is also what we desire this morning. As we have gathered on this Sunday, the Lord's Day, and a special one, Lord, as this is the day that we yearly commemorate that Thou didst rise from the dead. Blessed art Thou, eternal God and Father, that Thou hast fulfilled all Thy words spoken through Jesus Thy Son as true. We heard it out of the angel's mouth this morning, as he said. And, O Lord, these words this morning, that we may continue to remember, they are full of life and peace. Nothing seemed more unlikely and more impossible than the resurrection of Jesus Christ, dead and guarded. But Lord, though the poet had to say, who will escape death's dismal power when it finally grips a man? Today, we know that question is answered. With the Lord is risen indeed. And may the comfort and the joy of that so unlikely thing that has truly happened today become, Lord, a power that will wipe away for a moment all what hinders us from feeling joyful. And there are plenty of things on our mind. Gracious God, as we live in this midst of people that we know, that are hurting, that are struggling, that feel so low, some in our own congregation, some in other congregations and family circles. And therefore, Lord, we may extol Thee this morning and pray that Thou would exalt us in our thinking about who Thou art. Lift us up and lift up our eyes that we may look unto Him who has conquered death, and in whose hands are the keys of death and hell. Lord, this is a day of joy, and may it become for us all a day of joy. Take our minds away from unworthy thoughts, from cleaving to the dust. Oh, cure these cold hearts of ours, or these lukewarm minds of ours. And may there be some divine fire fall, O God, through the preaching of the Word into our souls to kindle a fire that may burn all our idols, but that may also kindle a flame or rekindle them of sacred devotion. Be pleased, O God, to exercise Thy resurrection power on the dead bones of the unsaved and on the chilled souls or the burdened hearts of Thy people. Shatter today the grip of death and darkness that is all the fruit of unbelief. Oh God, take this captain unbelief and slay him in our hearts today. Shine away every doubt and fear that as we hear again this message, that thou take our eyes, Lord, and make them look up at thee alone instead of at our spices in our hand or our big stones in our life or our impossibilities in our circumstances. So may Easter be at a dawn today of a new day. And so enable all of us, Lord, who are called to preach this gospel of Easter, to be like the angels today, proclaiming but also explaining the message of hope and grace in this risen Jesus. And thou knowest, Lord, how some of us will struggle with the burdens of life and not to be able to let those go but this moment. May that be for a moment to be taken out of our minds. And those that are facing the face of death, may they see the life in Christ. And those, O God, who feel helpless and stuck and hopeless in themselves, may they see that the stone is rolled away. Oh, we acknowledge thee, Lord, that all these miseries is our own fault. As in our departure from thee, we have sowed every variety of sorrow we reap in our life, in young days or old days. But in all our common and specific needs, let us have a moment this morning, O gracious God, to hear with joy, the Lord is risen indeed. Help us not only to understand this in a doctrinal way, but lead thou us to believe it in an experiential way. That we may see that what happened on Friday, he was wounded for my transgressions, for our transgressions. And may we now learn to see and believe he was raised for our justification. That comfort, O God, for all thy children, may that be their portion this morning. Bring it home sweetly to all those who seek Jesus in our midst. And Lord, then may it also please thee to draw those who do not seek Jesus. Thou knowest that we don't seek him by nature. Thou knowest, Lord, that we seek pleasures and possessions and status. We seek life in this world, and it is all a vain dream. Make us to see it this morning, that if we not seek Jesus, we are lost, totally lost, in the grip of death, hastening us to the final death. O God, so quicken today throughout this world, wherever the gospel is preached, that hearts may be opened. Thou hast said, Father, no, Son, thou hast said it. Verily, verily, the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, his gospel, and shall live. And may that be witness today, Lord, to thy glory. And as we experience with each other the needs and brokenness and pains and fears regarding future, Lord, as we share the burdens of Ben and Elaine, so exhausted and stretched and challenged, Lord, in all the needs of this little boy, which doctors are surrounding with their care and their attempts to help him in this so weak condition. Dear Lord, Thou knowest what the plans are with Isaac. Thou knowest what Thou wants to accomplish through his life and through this journey that Thou art taking with these parents, and with Joyce and Doug, and with Elaine's parents, and all the family, and all of us. And Lord, we trust and entrust this little one to Thy powerful hands, with the plea that Thou would heal him, restore him, cause him to overcome, so that he may live, not only exist in this hospital room, but be at home with these parents. Lord, Thou hears our petitions, and will be made pleased to answer us according to Thy grace and will. We pray for Caleb and Sheila, also in the hospital this moment. And we ask Thee, Lord, bless the means to stay the birth of these twins till they may be a little older. Could that please Thee, Lord? It is a critical time to be born now, especially as so young. And bless Thou therefore Caleb and Sheila and these children, and also Sully and Winslow, probably doesn't know much of all this, Lord, but please be with them all and with the family as well. We lift up to Thee the imminent separation that the Bazin family may experience, as Thou art removing Thy servant and this husband and father from the scenes of a broken world. And Lord, that must be for Thy children and joy. But Thou knowest we are human. We struggle to let go what is dear and near to us. But may it be easy also for this brother, that Thou would give him the foretaste of the heavenly glory. Strengthen them. We pray for Thy children, Lord, that are persecuted, tortured. The Christians in Egypt that are still reeling from the destruction they experienced last weekend. And on many others in other places of the world that are persecuted. Strengthen them on this day. If the joy of the message be with Keith and Jessica and their needs. Be with the family, Lord, of the soldier that was killed this week in distant country. Be with our elderly at home listening or in a nursing home. And let in all these realities, O God, we may taste something of the comfort that David spoke in Thy presence is fullness of joy. So hear us, O great friend of sinners and publicans, conqueror of the dead, King of all kings. We have no other one to call upon in all our afflictions and needs but Thou. Thou hast the words of eternal life. O blessed are they who put their trust in Thee. And may we be such this morning. Gracious God, in Jesus' name hear us. Amen. Psalter now, to Thee, O Lord, I fly, and on Thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King Most High. 29, all three verses. And there is only one collection this morning, as we forgot to announce an extra collection. We'll do that next week, the Lord willing. So today the offerings that you may give will be devoted to the general fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Right after the Lord's Supper, before Jesus went to Gethsemane, we read in Mark that they sang an hymn. And when they had sung an hymn, what was that hymn? That was Psalm 118. That was the Passover song. And in that psalm, we read the verse, "This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us be glad, and we will rejoice and be glad in it." That was that song. That was the song of Hallel, Hallelujah in Hebrew. All the way from Psalm 111 all the way to 118. Those were the songs that were sung during the Passover season. And now today, we have come to that day of which that poet sang and which Jesus also sang about before he had to go the long journey through death to the resurrection morning. This is a day of joy. This is the brightest day that has ever been seen in the world of darkness and death. And we feel the contrast this morning as we've seen and hear about all these tidings of difficulties and sicknesses, and that's the life struggle. Where every one of us is going to succumb one day through the battle and lose it. What battle? To live. I see gray hairs among us. I see elderly faces among us. But children, I see young children's faces too. And this week we have heard a 6-month old baby, young baby, a 30-year young mother, an 85-year old one. Death is no respecter. And you and I all are going to lose this battle. Now, you say, that's not what Easter is about. No, that's exactly not what Easter is about. That's why Easter is so joyful. Because we saw on Friday night this mangled body, exhausted, bled to death. No, he didn't bleed to death. He laid down his cross, but he lost a lot of blood. We read out body of Jesus in the grave. Today, he was so different that they didn't recognize him when they saw him. Why not? He has a glorified body. The only leftover of that humiliation were the prints in his hand and feet. And whether Jesus still will have that to all eternity, we'll have to find out later. But he had it, certainly, those 40 days while he was on earth. But for the rest, all trace of suffering, of weariness, of death, is gone. He stood there in the glory of manhood, restored from the dishonor of death into the glory of a new body. Easter, friends, is the day of joy. Now, if this day would not have taken place, the whole cross of Golgotha would have been a hoax. Would have been a fake event. If there would have been no Easter, then the whole death of Jesus and what he said and did would be an illusion. But it isn't. It's a fact of redemption. And indeed, if Golgotha was real, and if Jesus' death was a payment, and if that word finished is true, then Easter had to take place. That also. For if he had paid the price to divine justice, it would have been injustice to leave him dead. That's Easter. And if you understand it well, friends, then you understand why in the New Testament we have 300 plus references to the resurrection. Go start counting. See if I'm right. Go read through your New Testament and see if you can find over 300 references to the New Testament, the resurrection of Jesus. It's a key theme of the Scripture. And this is where the Holy Bible stands distinct from any other religion in the world. There is no religion in the world that dares to teach resurrection of the body. You ever notice that? The Hindus, they come close, they call the reincarnation of the spirit, but not the body. Only the Bible dares to teach that all that dust that lays on the graveyards shall one day rise again. Every Sunday we confess that. I believe in the resurrection of the body. There is no greater article of faith than that one. As we see death wiping away generation after generation, no friends, today we are standing at the birth of new life, as it were, the resurrection. It is therefore that Jesus sends his disciples into the world to be the witnesses of the resurrection. And you know why? Because the resurrection of Jesus is the guarantee that every and all believers shall be more than conquerors. Over death, over sin, over guilt, over all the misery. And they shall reach the dawn of an eternity without a sunset. Even though they may all be laid in the grave that are here present in this assembly this morning. Because Jesus is risen, we will never be defeated, Church of God, in the war against sin and Satan. Never. Though he might strike here and there a victory. If you are in Christ, you will be more than conqueror. Don't let Satan rob you of that truth. Pray this morning that this truth of the resurrection be so deeply rooted in your heart. It is therefore that on the cemetery plot of a child of God, we can sing our last doxology that we'll sing today again. Praise be to God, from whom all blessings flow. On a cemetery plot? Can you sing that? Yes, you can. Not of everyone, but of those that die in the Lord. That makes a big difference. And that you feel that, you notice that when you are as a minister to bury a person. And you ask the family, if you don't know them, what can you say something about him or her? And yeah, sometimes I hear nothing. Ah, yeah, I went to church, but that's not enough. No, we know that's not enough. That's really hard to bury a person like that. But what a difference it is when we may lay down one who is a seeker of Jesus, even if you don't get any farther than that. But that your heart is seeking Jesus, Jesus. That's the one I need. Then your cemetery plot will be a bed to rest on. Till this day happens, that happened to Jesus. So this is a day of joy. Because Christ has conquered the power of death. And he has conquered the king of terrors. And he has indeed conquered everything. The boundary that we as men cannot ever come back from. And therefore, friends, is a day of joy. There is in him all power laid up in heaven and on earth. This morning, let's focus our thoughts around verse 2 of Matthew 28. There's another beholden there, by the way. Just as we saw on Friday night in verse 27. And I notice in this chapter there's a lot of beholds. You notice that? Have you read it? It's like the Holy Spirit really wants to emphasize this is a chapter very important. As I count it well, there are three beholds in here. But we'll look at verse 2 today, this morning. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And they came and they rolled back the stone from the door and they sat upon it. Friends, I want to draw your thoughts this morning to God's message on Easter in this angel's ministry. And there are three parts to this ministry of the angel. And each one is loaded with a message. First, that the angel descended from heaven. Okay, yeah, well, that's pretty obvious, Pastor. We're going to look at that. Secondly, the angel is ordered to roll away the stone. Yeah, you say that's obvious. had to be done. That's true, but it's not obvious, as you'll see. And thirdly, then after he's rolled away the stone, he sits on top of it. And the angel sat on it. Now there's nothing here that is not important. And all three of these aspects of this Easter gospel is coming out in this angel's ministry. First then, the angel descends from heaven. And there was a great earthquake. Now, those of you who live in earthquake zone, which you don't gladly in Wisconsin, you know that after an earthquake you have an aftershock, and probably many of them, and some of them are just as big. Is this an aftershock? Oh no. This is not an aftershock. The Holy Spirit here says clearly, the angel descended, there was an earthquake, for the angel descended from heaven. This is a supernatural earthquake, which no doubt, again, rattled all those people in Jerusalem, as well as the soldiers. Matthew Henry makes a nice point on that. Let me read it to you. He says, when Jesus died, the earth shook in terror and fear to receive him in the grave. And when he is about to rise, the earth leaped for joy to let him go. It's like the earth didn't want to hold the Creator. Nice thought. Matthew Henry here has some meditative moment. Whether that's true or not, I liked it. I thought it was a beautiful symbolic statement of the earth. Shuddered when the Lord of creation died. Leaped for joy when the Lord of creation rose from the grave. Now may I ask you, the earth is not rational. Did you cry and shudder when Jesus died? And do you shake and rejoice when we hear that Jesus rose? Shall the earth testify against you and me? Isaiah and Jeremiah, they love to call upon the heavens. Heavens tremble, heavens rejoice, and earth rejoice. And they do. And what about us people? We sit like, yeah, I don't know how we sit, but often so emotionless under the solemn facts of the glory of God's dealings. The angel comes down from heaven, it says. The angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Children, why is this angel here? What are angels? Well, angels are, they are servants. They don't come on their own. They don't say, oh, I'm going to visit the earth today. No, no. The angels are always obedient servants of God. So God sent the angel. Now, notice it doesn't say that the Father sent the angel here. The angel of the Lord. It is the Lord who sent this angel from heaven to earth. Lord means the supreme ruler. Kurios. The Lord who is the judge of heaven and earth. He sends the angel. And that's important. But where does he come from, the angel? He comes from the courtroom in heaven. He comes from the throne of God. Don't forget. He is sent as a court official from heaven to this place in the garden where Jesus is buried. He's sent by God. By God. Who's God again? He's holy. He's just. He's uncompromising. You hold to his own truth forever. And he sent an angel to this graveyard in Israel. That's that same God, children, that we saw on Friday night, if you were in church here with me, with us. That was that same God who sent an angels or angels to stop Adam and Eve to go back into Garden of Eden. Remember that angel with the sword? That's the same God who sends this angel this morning to the graveyard here in Israel. But what does this angel have in his hand? Yeah, sometimes it's obvious. But the obvious is sometimes the most beautiful things. He has no sword in his hand. No more. No more necessary. See? That's the beauty of Easter. He can send an angel without a sword. Why is that? That sword has been plunged all the way in Jesus Christ on Golgotha's hill. And there it stays. That's Easter. Beloved, and you see what's happening here on this morning. The angel descended from heaven, the place of justice, the place of holiness, as the heaven's courts official. And there's a message there. What is the message then? That the judge sent him to release him from death? True. But let's listen to the scripture. Now the God of peace has brought again the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. God of peace. That's not what he was on Golgotha. He couldn't be. He was the God of wrath. Because we dared to disobey. But now after Golgotha's death of the cross bearer, he may appear here for his church as the God of peace. To bring again the Lord Jesus dies from the dead. God is just, congregation. And what did he say in the law? Do this, and ye shall live. Did you see what I said earlier in the sermon? If what happened on Golgotha is real, if Jesus really obeyed his Father and emptied the cup and laid down his life, Easter has to happen. Those who do his will shall live. And Jesus did. He did all. He kept all God's commandments, and therefore he must rise. Now, this fact, this first one, is already to cheer the hearts of all God's true disciples. Now maybe you don't call yourself a disciple this morning. Let me look in your heart. Are you a seeker of Jesus? Did you rise up this morning to a little extra early maybe? Ah, I should have. Yeah, you should have if you did. Those are good mornings to get up on early, as those women did. Why did they get up early? Not to straighten out their best Easter clothes for that day. No, they wanted to seek Jesus early. If you are here this morning, such a seeker of Jesus, I have a wonderful tiding for you. It comes all the way from heaven's courts. It's not my tiding. I'm only passing it through. Maybe you came here this morning also a little bit like those women with a heavy heart. A little sadness in your heart. Maybe confusion. Maybe facing a big stone reality as they did. And what is a stone reality? Well, it could be kind of all kinds of problems, of course, but that's not the one I'm thinking of. How about that stony heart? The reality of having sinned against God, that's a big one. Who will roll that stone away? The reality that I have broken my relationship with God, that's heavy. That's a big stone. Are you here this morning? With that sense of this heavy stone on your heart, not able to take that away. Well, God has prepared for these women and for such seekers of Jesus on this Easter morning was far more than the rolling away of a stone from the grave. He has prepared a message for them that would roll away the stone from their heart. And we see it. They ran away from the sepulchre with fear and with great joy. And he is about to roll away that stone from their heart, this angel, in the glad tidings that he may bring. Now that brings me to my second thought. The gospel of the angels rolling away of the stone. See, he descended from heaven. And then this mighty angel children put his weight of his hands against that stone and no doubt without any difficulty just rolled that weight of stone like it was a little pebble. Opened the grave's mouth. And there's such a rich gospel in that too that we're first going to sing before we listen to it. Psalter 160. O God, give ear to my cry, and to my voice attend. Though far from home and far from thy house, to thee my prayers ascend. Maybe picture something of what those women felt in all their struggle. 160, all four verses.
Wings, come,
behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel descended from the Lord, and he came, and he rolled back the stone from the door. Pointed out already, this angel was not just a messenger, though his work was a message. He came as God's court-appointed servant. Usually, the angels are sent to minister to God's children. But in the time of Jesus' life on earth, the angels also were sent to minister to the captain of salvation. It must have been an exquisite joy for them to do so. And so also on this Easter morning, this angel in God's sovereignty was chosen to be the privileged angel to roll away the stone from the grave's mouth. Couldn't Jesus do that himself? What do you think, children? Could Jesus not roll away that stone himself? Could he not just say, stone, roll away? Of course he could. He is a powerful God. But why do we need an angel then? Yeah, that's a good question. There's a good answer for that too. But God never does anything without a purpose. The angel, how about we compare him to a policeman? Maybe they don't work in the... I would call him a prison guard. Maybe something like that will help us to understand. And in that cell, in that prison, there is a man who was sentenced to sit... Let's say he had to sit for 25 years in prison. Then 25 years were over, and then the police would send the prison guard to open the cell door. And he would tell the man, you may come out. That's what this angel came to do. That's why God sent an angel to this grave. He had to open the door for Jesus, and that was telling the whole world something. That the one who was laid there was perfectly accepted in all what he had done by his father, by the judge, and therefore it was an act of justice that Jesus was released from this captivity of the grave. Because Jesus was a lawful captive, congregation. He was made sin, you remember. He laid down his life on behalf of his guilty church. And his guilty church sentence was death. In the day that you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. And therefore only the hand of satisfied justice is allowed to release Jesus from the grave. And that's why the angel came. Roll away that stone is telling God's children something this morning. What? Now here it comes. He laid there, children of God. He was wounded for our transgressions. Oh, never forget those sins that you mourn about still. Those black spots, those awful things that you will never, ever forget. Wounded for our transgressions. All those sins, children of God, went to Jesus. That's why he died. And now court of heaven says, raised for our justification. And that's an act of a judge. Justification is what the judge alone can proclaim. When he looks at the church and he looks here at the head of the church and he discharges him from all the results of his humiliation and the price he paid for sin. And that is why he brought Jesus from the dead as an act of justice. And that's why he sent his angel as the court servant from heaven. The Lord is risen indeed. If we grasp the understanding of this, can you see why this is such a brilliant, beautiful greeting on a day like this? The Lord is risen indeed. That means he has indeed paid for all the sins of his church. Rejoice therefore, children of God. Rejoice therefore, you seeker of Jesus. Even if you don't want to call yourself a child of God this morning. You who seek Jesus, who are not able to live anymore out of your own treasuries of righteousness. You are not able to live anymore out of your own efforts and your own help and your own strength. You have lost it all and have begun to see the glory of Christ. Rejoice this morning, ye seekers of Jesus, for he is not here, he is risen. And risen means justified. Acquitted. Payment made. Read your discharge this morning, children of God, and drop those spices that you took along and you're still holding on to. What are those spices in the life of grace? Oh, we think we need something to bring to Jesus. Here stands one who still struggles to think. To get away from that thinking. And so I'm sure I'm not talking to strangers here. We always think we need to bring something to Jesus. You know what Easter is? To drop all your spices. And to take hold of the feet of Jesus. And to worship him. And to thank God for what he has brought in this salvation. It is only his work. One of the old ministers, Reverend Wissey, had this to say. I thought it was so good, I'm going to quote it altogether. Do you have nothing to offer to God? Well, let's ask that question again. Do you have nothing to offer to God? I don't have any good feelings. I don't have any tears. I don't have any good life. I don't have any things that I think I need. Now, he says, I'll continue to quote. He says, you don't need anything. You don't need anything. A resurrected Christ doesn't need any spices from you. The only thing needed here this morning is faith. Which God, through his Spirit, works in the heart of sinners. We must learn to see, if we ever will see Easter in its beauty, to see no more ground of hope in any of your experiences, feelings, sweet frames, convictions, your sweet text and Bible verses and Psalter verses, he adds. Your dreams, your visions, that you may boast about or secretly hope upon. Instead, we are to be but poor and needy before God. So poor and needy that you be satisfied to be ministered unto by a risen Savior. So poor and needy that you allow yourself to sink into his righteousness and to be ministered out of his resurrection ministry. That fell in my heart, that quote. It is a mighty and a wise counsel of this old minister. And what a surprise, congregation, did the women meet when with a heavy heart they faced the impossibility from their side, and when with a great surprise they meet with a rolled away stone and a living Jesus. You know, then it becomes really Easter for us spiritually, when we may embrace the promise of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it often will go through an impossible way, as these women experience, and so it will seem like that heaven and hell work against you. Satan may accuse, unbelief may roar, your heart may seem more corrupt and harder, and your law may cry for vengeance, and your conscience must agree, and all you must cry out, "What must I do?" Oh, in all the 3.5 years, I've never had anybody come to me in this congregation asking that question. "Pastor, what must I do to be saved?" But if you would come, I would say this to you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is risen from the dead. That's what my great, wonderful mentor taught me to say. His name is Paul. As he spoke to the jailer, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved." Yeah, that's heaven's answer, friends. We do have nothing to do but to believe, only for the Lord already took care of all what you need in the risen Savior Jesus Christ. And anything you bring to Him, you're telling the Father in heaven, "Easter is not enough for me. There is no greater disgrace." And count on it. Your soul will stay in darkness. You will continue to walk in despair when we continue to bring some of our spices to a living Jesus. In Him is the righteousness of heaven prepared for those who are now truly poor and needy. You know what your big problem is? That you're way too rich for Christ. Way too rich for a risen Savior. Hard, isn't it, to learn that? Now lastly, the angel does one more thing. He sat upon the stone. I just kind of see him sitting there, kids. This bright angel, he looks like lightning, it says. And his raiment is white as snow. And the guards who stood by that stone, they are nearly stone at this moment. So frightened they are, even though they were guarding the truth. They had no love for the truth. You still have people like that in the church. They're guarded of the truth, but they have no love for the truth. These guards didn't either. And they become dead men when they see the glory of this angel. And friends, that's only the glory of an angel. What will it be to see the glory of God Himself? But then, look what the angel does. He goes sit upon that stone. Now that's an important word. That word sit. You trace that word in the Bible, you come back to that word often in the book of Revelation. That same word. Sit. And then it is referring to Christ sitting on the throne. That word sitting here is not just sitting, "I can take a rest." No, no. This is a sitting on the stone as an expression of majesty. Yeah, more than that. This tombstone rolled away is not a memorial stone anymore. This tombstone was a symbol of justice, you know. When that was rolled before that grave, it was justice who rolled it before that. But now it is defeated. And therefore that angel takes his place right on top of that stone, and that in itself is a message. What's the message? Testify of the security of what happened on Easter morning. The triumph is secure. Death will not have the last word for those who die in Christ. He said he with authority, defying all the powers of hell to defy him to roll that stone back before the grave. And that they couldn't, right? And therefore they came up with a lie. A couple of verses later you read about that. They had to come up with some story about this resurrection. And so Satan concocted a very good idea to tell everybody that the disciples stole him. I wonder if they ever broke their promise. What do you think? They did. How do I know that? It's in the Bible. Matthew must have heard it. Didn't he? How could it be here then? If nobody was, shh, don't talk about it. Somebody did talk about it. And I may talk about it today. That the angel sat on the stone of this grave as the symbol of the victory over death, friends. And we are in a scene of death all around us. But in that scene, again and again and again, we must hold on to the truth that was already disputed in the New Testament age, in the book of Corinthians. We read that. And then Paul ends this chapter, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." And from that position, as the angel sits on this victorious throne, presumably, but at least out of that position, he may bring the message to these women of the risen Savior. I share that task this morning with the angels. Proclaim the good tidings of great joy. Are you a seeker of Jesus? Do you sense your poverty, friends? Has God been taking away everything out of your hand that seemed to have some value? Are you one that sorrow over sin? Are you one that seeks a better righteousness than your own dealings? Are you hungering to know Him? To be found in Him? And to know the power of His resurrection? See, that's a seeker of Jesus. And I'm commissioned from heaven's court to say to such, fear not. Fear not. Why not? Because I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is risen. He has paid the price for your sin. He has provided everything to take away your poverty. He has done everything to wipe away the tears of sin and the guilt of sin. He has done everything to obtain the title for heaven. He has been raised for your justification. Fear not. Take your eyes this morning off yourself, please, and take your eyes away from these big stones and from these impossibilities. Please, take your eyes away. May I just take your eyes once more up to this risen Savior. Look unto Him, all ye ends of the earth. Are you looking? Are you looking in this empty grave this morning? Look unto Him. Yes, you need not fear. This night I may even say that to Peter in our midst. As I'll preach from Mark, go tell my disciples and Peter, don't forget him. Fear not. I am risen. Oh, what a glorious gospel. I proclaim a message this morning to those of you who don't seek Jesus. I'm going to be plain with you. You are a fool and nothing else. Your sorrows shall be multiplied. That hasten after another God than Jesus Christ. And therefore you are a fool to cling to any other God but the one who conquered death, who conquered hell, who conquered the world. And when you will come before him finally and see his glory, you'll end up like these soldiers, shaking. The word shake there is seismic, the word in Greek. That's the same word you find in verse 2 describing the earthquake. These poor soldiers, they shook like an earthquake. Whether they ever came to a change in their heart, we'll find out in eternity. I may not proclaim to such who are not seekers the same comforts as I may to the seekers of Jesus, yet I do have a court message from you. It's a question from the one who sits on the throne. And this is his question. And do not go home today without answering it. I spoke to one of you this week that church is dialogue. You don't come here to listen to the sermon, you come here to listen to God. And as you go home, God wants an answer. You do that when you read the Bible too. You just don't read the Bible. You listen to God when you read the Bible. And when you close his Bible, God wants an answer. This is his question. What iniquity have you found in me that you hasten after another God than me? Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank thee for this so uplifting, such world-changing event. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have pondered this morning. And we pray, gracious God and holy judge, that the message thou hast sent in the angel's ministry on this so special day may also be received with joy and gladness in the heart of thy people. These seekers of Jesus, Lord, we may be sitting here today like these women, full of fear, but also joy. Joy. Maybe cannot believe it. That it is true that he died for me. And that he rose for me. And Lord, that is now a truth thou alone can make thy children believe. And we know that thou can do that. If thou can conquer death, thou can conquer any heart. And thou can put away all unbelief. And thou can redeem thy children with all their spice religion that we still come with, even on a day like this. Oh, faithful God, may this Christ become all and in all for us all. Also for those of us who are still so foolish to hasten after other gods that can do us no good, no, that will let us down like a stone in the water. Please, Lord, thank thee for all that thou gave us this morning. And will thou bless this message wherever it goes in this world. in thy grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The extra collection that was planned for today is now for next week, and that was for the National International Disaster Committee. And of course, I don't have to tell you that there's enough international and national needs that could be benefited by your offerings and gifts. So that will be next week, Sunday, as a second collection. Now we will sing Psalter 161, and verse 1, then 4, 5, and then 8, 9. Now they're on the board, so you can read it from there. 161, then let us sing 1 and what follows. It's a tradition on Easter that we do not have catechism class, so no catechism today. Let us now receive the blessing of the Lord God, and let us go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.